Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Well, welcome Elevation family. So great to be with you today from Cairns to Gold Coast to Tweed Coast, down to Byron and Yamba, out to Tamworth, Hills, Penrith, Mandurah, and mighty Melbourne. Great to be with you today. Maybe you're with us from an INC church. Welcome. And maybe today's your first time. You've connected, someone sent you a link or invited you. We are thrilled that you're with us today. And our prayer is that God would minister to you in a very real and powerful way. His word is living, it's active. And I pray as we share God's word today, your life will never be the same. I don't know about you, but these are the craziest, strangest times that we're currently living in, aren't they? It's like all the rules for living have been thrown out the window. It's like, what can I and can't I do? Am I allowed to kiss my wife? Do I need a 1.5 meter wooden spoon to spank my kids? Can we have two people in the kitchen? We're wrestling with what we can and can't do. What I find funny is there's two types of people. There's the huggers and the non-huggers. You know which one you are, right? Well, the huggers, they're freaking out. They're in withdrawals. You know, they're hugging the dog, the cat, the doona, the pillow. They're just finding something to hug. Now, the non-huggers, they're like, praise the Lord, glory to God. I've been interceding and praying that this day would come, that we're not forced to hug. Everyone is responding differently to this COVID-19 pandemic. But here's something that we all have in common. There's an uncertainty, that there's a not knowing of what the future will bring. There's this uncharted waters that we're in. Something I want to reassure you today from God's word is that God isn't taken by surprise. God isn't unsure or anxious or worried about the future. God is in control. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He spoke and spun the world into existence. And as Christians, we need to understand with Christ in us, we have a hope. Well, we're not some helpless, hopeless, wandering, freaked out people. No, we can lay hold of the confidence in Christ because the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. The Bible says we are the apple of his eye. We're the head and not the tail. Our goal isn't just to survive this pandemic. Our goal is to thrive, to glorify our God and push forward his kingdom. But you might feel like me, restricted. Well, you might feel a little bit locked down. We feel cramped. We feel confined. We feel like we're hampered or held back. I call it lockdown. Lockdown is when we're not doing life the way we want to, where we're being forced by outside circumstances how to act and what to do. So today, we're going to look at God's word, and we're going to see how do we act as Christians in lockdown? Well, what are we supposed to do? How do we behave? Not what we're taught by doctors or different people who are professionals, but what does God's word teach us today? If you study the scriptures, lockdown is everywhere. We see the Israelites. They were locked down for 430 years as they were slaves to Pharaoh. Joseph was in prison. He was in lockdown. Or what about Jacob? He married the wrong woman. His father-in-law forced him to work another 7 years. He was in lockdown. There's other examples in scripture where Paul was in a Roman prison. He was in lockdown. Even Christ himself. Between the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection, there was a period of lockdown. Today we're going to learn from God's word about a man named David, multiple lockdowns in his life. But this story and this scripture is going to teach us, what do we do? How do we act? What is our responsibility? So let me explain where David was at in his lockdown. It's 11 BC. David is 23 years old. He had just had some miraculous victories. You might remember one of them when he defeated Goliath. He was a commander now of the Israeli army, and he had multiple victories against the Philistines. Now, he's living large with all these victories. He had won the daughter's hand in marriage, the daughter of the king, and he also had this tax-free status. Yeah, him and his wife, tax-free for their lifetime, was married to Saul's, the king's daughter. He was famous. Songs were being made. Life couldn't be better. And all of a sudden, through no fault of his own, Saul turns on him and kicks him out, and he runs and flees. He's in lockdown. Maybe you can relate pre-COVID. Life's good. Business is great. You're making plans about a trip overseas, maybe a plan to get married. Your career's on its path. The churches are thriving. Relationships are growing. Everything's awesome. And all of a sudden, because of no fault of your own, we found ourselves in these strange times that I call lockdown. So let's have a look at scripture of what happened to David. 1 Samuel 20, verse 1. Then David fled from Naoth at Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to kill me?" Maybe like David, you've asked those same questions. What have I done? God, why would you allow this to happen? I've been faithful. I'm a Christian. I help people. I'm doing the right thing. Why is this happening? What is my crime? Maybe you can relate today when you look at your life and you wonder, God, where are you? Why is all of this going on? We're going to study today that there are two ways that David responded. There are two truths in this lockdown that he endured that we can all learn from. And the first one is we find in lockdown that people are looking to you. People are looking to you. Did you know that people are watching you? As a Christian, they're watching the words you say or the words you don't say. They're looking to you. They're assessing you. They're watching you. And that's what happened to David. So in 1 Samuel chapter 22, he left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now, it's interesting. Adullam in the original language means refuge. And all of us, when we're in a time of crisis or lockdown, we find our refuge not in our home, or in a government or where we live, we find our refuge in our God. And the Bible goes on to say, when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, what did they do? They went to him there, all those in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. So David's hiding out in this cave, and God is his refuge, God's his sanctuary, his safe harbor, his hiding place. And all of a sudden, people are looking to him. They chase him. They find him. The verse continues on. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down there and gathered with him in distress and in debt and discontented. We can relate to that. A lot of our family, a lot of our friends, a lot of our loved ones, they're struggling with distress of their health, distress of their future, distress of all the plans and goals that they've made. Will they even ever be made possible? Many are in debt financially. People are hurting. They're struggling. They're suffering. Or maybe they're discontented. They're anxious. They're worried. They're freaking out. This is real. What does the future look like? And it's interesting that they looked to David in the same way that your friends and your family are looking to you. You might say, Miles, I didn't ask anyone to look to me in this time. But as a follower of Christ, they're looking to you. They're looking to the words that you might say, the hope that you might give, the example that you might be. And verse 1 continues, David became their commander. About 400 men were with him. David stepped into this lockdown and stepped up to be their leader. And that's what we should do. Just like David began to lead those family and friends that gathered around them, our role as Christians, as people are looking to us, is to lead them spiritually. This isn't something just for the pastor or just for the church leader. This is for everyone who's a follower of Christ. Your spouse is looking to you for support. Your kids are looking to you for security. Or maybe your parents are looking for you for safety. A brother is looking to you for hope. A sister looking to you for some answers. We've got neighbors looking for security. People are looking to you. You didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. But the truth is, through God's word, they're looking to you. And as we have Christ in us, our role is to lead them to Christ. For me personally, this has been quite a challenge. I'll be honest with you. I've spent so much time leading the church. I'm thinking, when do we have church? How do we have 1.5 meter spacing in worship? You know, how do we gather with four people per square meter? So I'm leading the church, having these discussions. How long? You know, when do we get back in the buildings? We're negotiating. This message has challenged the life out of me. You know why? Because I've failed to see the most important people in my life who are looking to me, my family, my four boys and my daughter. They're watching me. They're watching how I act at home. They're watching my words. They're watching my response. And your family is watching you. We have this opportunity in this lockdown, more than ever before, where we can spend time. I've been challenged to just sit on the bed with my boys and listen to them. I'm even being pushed to go into the media room. We've got this kind of bedroom, we make it the media room, and to sit and watch them play Call of Duty. I'm being forced out of my comfort zone to get into their worlds because I know they're watching me. I don't want to miss the opportunity to lead them. To say a word of encouragement, to do a puzzle, to do a game, to spend time. It's not easy, it's a challenge, but they're watching me. And I don't want to miss the responsibility or the opportunity to lead them. What about you? People are looking to you. Friends, family, they're watching. Neighbors, they're looking. Are you leading them? So if people are looking to you, don't be silent, don't whine, don't complain, don't freak out. If people are looking to you, be an example of Christ to them. So if people are looking to you, here's my second thought that we see from this story of David. Who are you looking to? If people are looking to you, who are you looking to? So after David was rejected by Saul, he hid in the cave. Then he went back to Philistine. Now, Philistine was this country that were opposed to Israel. They were enemies. They were called the Philistines. And David, check this out, found comfort, financial provision, and safety in Philistine. In other words, he's with the enemy. And he's hanging out, he's working as a mercenary, he's getting a percentage by pillaging some villages, and the enemy is taking care of him. And we'll pick up the story in chapter 29 of 1 Samuel. Verse 2, as the Philistine rulers marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching at the rear with Achish, the commander of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" So David and his men are marching to war against Israel, his people, with the enemy, the Philistines. And the Philistines say, hang on a minute, something's wrong. Why are they marching with us? And the Philistine says, these are Hebrews. What's a Hebrew? Well, they were God's people from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were the Israelites. They were set apart. They were different. God was a holy God. He had different rules and different standards. David forgot who he was. He stopped looking at his God and he started looking at the Philistines to be his provider. And when he forgot who he was, he started to fight unknowingly for his enemy. You see, the Philistines can represent the world. They can represent, in our context, the ways of man. And when a crisis comes and we lose sight of our God, we can easily fall into the trap to look to the world or to the ways of man to provide for us, to get us out of this crisis. And the Philistines, representing the world, said, hang on a minute, David's a Hebrew. He can't go with us. We see in verse 4, the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish, who was one of the Philistine commandments, and said, send the man back that he may go to the place you assigned him. He must not go into battle, for he will turn against us during the fighting. Here's what's fascinating to me. The Philistines knew that David shouldn't go to battle, but David didn't know. It would be like a co-worker says, no, you're not a Christian. There's nothing about your life or the way you live that would assume or expect people to think you're a Christian. And so it would be like your co-worker arguing to another co-worker that you're not a Christian. That's what's going on. David lost sight of who he was. Don't lose sight of who you are by looking to the wrong place to get you out of this crisis. One commentator says it this way. David had too much of the world in him to be at peace with the Lord, and had too much of the Lord in him to be at peace with God. Because David found there were many benefits living with the enemy. There was safety, there was comfort, there was prosperity, there was no accountability, there was freedom. Now, what I'm about to say could be a little controversial. So please hear my heart. I'm not saying we don't receive help from banks or the government or negotiate with our landlords. But what I am saying, don't forget who you are. You're a child of God. You're a Christian. You're a man or woman of faith. And our role is always to look to our God. Don't allow other areas of life to take the place of who God is. Don't sell your faith for a favor. Like David, don't get so caught up in survival, you turn on your own God. You're a son and a daughter of God. God's ways are higher. The world is not our home. And maybe you've been focusing so much on financial relief, you've lost your faith. Maybe you've been studying the news, you've forgotten about the good news. Maybe you've looked to another place to rescue you, and that's taken away from the role of God in your life. People are looking to you. Who are you looking to? This is quite a challenging word, but the reason I have so much passion is God wants to do something significant in your life in the lockdown. You see, it was in David's lockdowns where he was developed as a leader and a man of God. It's in this time that we develop influence over those around us. It's in these times that people are looking to us, we act differently, we talk differently. It's where we begin to be able to share who God is. And he is the savior of the world. And it's also a time where our faith isn't shaken, it can actually be strengthened. Because in this time of crisis, rather than looking to our own ability or the world's ways, we learn to trust and depend on God to a greater way. Well, why does all of that matter? Because you matter. You matter to God. God knows what you're going through. He cares about you. And He wants to use this crisis, this pandemic, to develop you, to grow you, to extend His kingdom on this earth so we don't just survive. We can thrive. We can hang on to the peace that is above all understanding. We can hang on to this love that God has that doesn't make sense. We can hold on to faith that's not limited to our minds or limitations of the practical ways of the world, but we can grow deeper and stronger with our God. I pray during this season of lockdown that you would realize that people are looking to you, that you wouldn't be silent, you wouldn't hide, you wouldn't withdraw, you wouldn't hold back. I pray also in this time of lockdown that you would look to your God like never before, to His Word, to worship, to leaning in to know Him deeper, so that we can be an answer to this world, that we can bring hope, that we can share the love of Christ like never before. Honestly, I'm excited how the church can flourish. I'm excited how the church can prosper relationally and prosper financially and prosper with spiritual gifts and prosper with miracles. I'm excited what God can do if we realize people are looking to us and we need to keep our eyes on our God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for David in the Bible. It's such an inspirational story for all of us. And he wasn't perfect, and neither are we. We're challenged by this message. We're challenged that maybe we haven't stood up for you, or we've looked in the wrong places. Father, there's no condemnation in Christ. This is a message of hope and excitement and a message of encouragement today. I pray the Holy Spirit would do something that we can't, that you would empower us to lead. You would deepen our relationship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Still praying today, some of you, you've been looking elsewhere, and as a result, you're far from God. Some of you today, you've actually never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And the good news is this, that Jesus came and lived a perfect life, died and rose again, so our sins could be forgiven, so that we could know our Father in heaven. That we're just not saved for this earth. Hear me now. We're saved for eternity, because there will be another crisis. There will be another trial and a trouble. The question is, do you have Christ with you? Do you know Him? Have you asked Jesus into your life to follow Him? Maybe you haven't, or maybe years ago you did and you've kind of drifted. Today's your day. Today's your day to make that decision to follow Him. If that's you today and you know you're not right with God, and today's your day to put your life right with God, to call on His name, you will be saved, the Bible says. I want you to make that decision right now. In your heart, say, yeah, Miles, that's me. I want to know Jesus. I want to be saved. If that's you, you can tell others that you're making this decision by mentioning it in the chat. You can say, I want to know Christ, and I want to pray for you, as we all pray together for Christ to forgive us and change us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would forgive us of our sins. We're sinners. We've fallen short of your glory and your goodness, but by the power of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven, not just to survive, but to thrive, to be all that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name.